I'm excited to hear what God has given you. This is our dessert. So it's almost over. He's given us the meal, and now here's the dessert. So, brother, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, I tell you, the missionaries that you have prayed for and are supporting, I guess, are the same ones that we are, too. And I went to school. You know, Brother Landy and his wife, his wife was a Spolstra, and her parents went to school when I went to school. They were classmates of mine. And so that's how I got to know the Spolstras. And now John Landy and his wife, I don't remember what her first name is, but anyway, that's her parents. And then also the A.J. Lutrick, we support them also. And I preached for Brother A.J. when he was gone for the church planters thing. I think it was the church planters thing that he was gone for. And I met Simon, the guy that he mentioned in his prayer letter. So, amen, what a blessing. It is a blessing to have the same names and the same people that we're praying for. And so, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16. I'm going to just quickly go through some things, not a real big, long thing here in depth, but just simple about knowing God's will, about divine direction. Sometimes you want to know what God wants for you or has for you, and it's not all that complicated if we just keep with the guidelines that the Bible gives us about His direction. Here's some servants that were looking for the direction of God, and this is how God gave it. Acts chapter 16, verse number 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed, that means they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So far, it says that the Spirit of God forbid them to go someplace and didn't allow them to go someplace. Somebody said, you can't bring the gospel to the wrong address. And that's true, because all lost people need it, but God has a certain specific will for the gospel to be brought to this person that maybe is ready, or this person who's looking, or open and asking for a witness, whatever. The Lord knows. As a matter of fact, the reason why we here in the States have the gospel so prevalently here is because Paul and his company went west instead of east. If he would have gone east, maybe we would be the recipients of the gospel from China or in the Eastern Asian countries. But this is what the Spirit of God was directing them. It says, no, not there, no, not here. And verse 8, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course, that means right away, to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. We're in that city abiding 30 certain days. You know the story, how it plays out? The Philippian jailer was the first one that got saved there in that place. The guy that beat them, threw them in the stocks, and was in this place where they must have been thinking, well, we're looking for the Lord's will, but this ain't it. You know, here we go to a place where we're being beaten and we're incarcerated. And Paul's probably talking to Silas saying, you know the jailer that threw us in here? He looks a lot like the guy that I saw in my dream saying, come over and help us. How is that? He's the first guy that got saved, remember? You know, he was in charge of the prisoners, and when God opened the prison doors that night, he thought, surely they're all escaped and I'm going to be dead. He had a family, kids, but he was dead. So he said, I'm just going to kill myself. He was going to commit suicide right there. And Paul says, hey, don't harm yourself. And he springs in and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He must have been hearing their preaching, their ministry, their worship, and saying, you got something I don't have, and whatever it is that you have, I need it. And he gets saved. How about that? They're looking for the Lord's will, and they're trying to find the Lord's will, and even trying some doors. Like if there were locks on these doors, and you needed to go through, one of them was open, The only way to know is to check. This one's locked. No, can't get through. No, can't get through this one. The Spirit of God was forbidding them to go from here, and they tried to do this. But the Spirit of God suffered them not, didn't allow them to do that. And finally, God opened the door. See, because God had a specific will. Do you know God's will for your life? Are you seeking God's will? Well, the Bible says that we are supposed to, that's our job as believers. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're all supposed to be searching for finding God's will in our lives. And I know that if you want to know God's will, it's right here. It's the Word of God. He speaks to us through the Word and gives us light and direction. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's the Word of God that brings light and helps us to understand those things. So we know God's will is through His Word. But sometimes there are some things that are not in God's Word, but we need to have God's direction, and we don't know. You don't know what's going to happen around the next bend. You can't see that far. God knows. He is around the next bend. He can see that far. And so you got to depend on the Lord to getting His will for things. But how do you know that? There's a procedure here in this passage of Scripture that Paul and Silas used to find and pursue the Lord's will. We can apply the same principles, discover God's will for our lives. We're commanded to discover and follow the will of God for our lives. Romans chapter 12. I quoted that, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, number one, just like they did, just real simple, and I promise this will be simple because that was a good meal. By the way, thank you. That was wonderful. Appreciate everybody doing that. If for no other reason, this was so worth me being here for that food. That was great. Thank you very much. And invite me again, and I'll come and eat. And so anyway, but I know after you had a nice meal, now you're all seated. Especially if you're closing your eyes for a little bit praying, you're about ready to go into Paul's vision time. So just real quickly, how do you find God's will? Number one, do what they did. Attempt to do God's will. Remember that. To try it. To step out. To do. They didn't just want to do God's will. They attempted to. They essayed to go. That means they tried. They essayed to go. They tried. They actively pursued God's will. The words in the text that uses are gone. They say they endeavored to go. Each instance, the will of God was actively attempted, albeit each initial try, they were off base. They tried, but that's not what God wanted them. They tried to go this direction. Nope. God said nope. Then they tried this door. Nope. But they were trying. They were moving. They were attempting to do God's will. God corrected them as they were in pursuit of His will. If you're yielded to God and you say, Lord, I don't know your will. I want to know your will. Is it here? And you try to go someplace. This is how I pray. You can pray however you want to, but I pray, God, prevent me from doing something really stupid. God, prevent me from making the wrong choice. I don't know what's right or wrong. And if you come to a fork in the road and you got to go one way or the other, God, help me to make the right choice. And I don't know, Lord, in everything, you know, the Bible says a lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. It's kind of like dice. It's not dice. The lot is kind of like dice, but it's not dice. If you were living in Vegas, you'd say, yeah, that's what the Bible says. No, it's talking about coming to a place where you got to make a decision, and it's like flipping a coin. Do I go this way or this way? Heads or tails? The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So number one, you attempt to do God's will. God corrected them as they were in pursuit of His will, but on the other hand, the Lord may have had a more difficult time in directing them if they just stayed in Antioch and they prayed in their study. Okay, God, we're going to go on this mission trip. Lead us. Tell us where you want us to go. And we're not moving. We're not going anywhere. You think it would be harder for God to tell them, you know, to direct them? Yeah. They were out there trying this, and God said, no, He closed the door. You know, the Bible doesn't say how He closed the door. Maybe the last train to Mysia left, and they couldn't do that. Or maybe the Ubers weren't working that day or something. I don't know. Whatever. However it was that God closed the door, they tried to go here, God prevented. They tried to go here, God said no. But they were moving. They were attempting. So that's what you do. Don't just stay and not do anything, but say, God, help me as I am moving forward, and you direct me and keep me from doing the wrong things. He reveals as we are moving or active or engaged in discovering his will. Number one, attempt to do God's will. Number two, God adjusts the direction. If you're going in the wrong way, the words of correction in the passage are forbidden. The Lord suffered them not. Their action or lack of it was connected to their obedience. They were commanded to go. They just weren't told exactly where it was till they came right down to Troas, and then it was just a small jump over the water. If you're one that will not move until you know the end from the beginning, then you're going to have a pretty difficult time serving God who doesn't disclose all the information up front. If God would have told me when I first got saved I was going to be a pastor of a church, I would have dropped dead back then. But you know what? He's too wise to throw something on you that you can't take. He gives you whatever the information you need at the time. and he helps you with that. And he helps you with the next thing. He helps you with the next thing. Peter discovered this in his conversation with Jesus. John 21, verse 18. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not." You know what that is. That's a person who has maybe not got their mind or their facilities anymore. They got to be led around, you know, kind of like Joe Biden. Well, let's not get into politics. But anyway, he's saying when you get old, you're going to be that where it's other people going to lead you about. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, Follow me." Did he tell Peter what to do, what he was going to be doing? Did he tell Peter that Peter was going to eventually be crucified upside down, as we find out in history? Did he tell him what was going to happen? No. He just said, "Follow me." Then Peter, like us, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, saith, "Lord," which is he that betrayeth thee. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, because he says, "Well, wait a minute, Lord. If you're telling him that he's going to do this, what is he going to do? Or what am I going to do? Or whatever." And this is what Jesus said: "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Don't worry about it. I want the details. You know, I'm not moving until I get the details of what God wants me to do. You're never going to find God's will. Excuse me. I have been surprised by the Lord. The whole 50 years that I've been walking with him, every day is a surprise. Every day is different. Every day is something. And you know what? The Lord has never consulted me on those plans. I'm offended. No, it's always a surprise. It's always new. So, and he says, "Hey, don't worry about that. Just say, yes, sir. That's it. Follow me." Number one, attempt to do God's will. Number two, God will adjust your direction if you're going in the wrong way. And the Lord can specifically guide in particular designer fashion. God is able. I just read this testimony of a guy right before the Twin Towers went down. He was on his way to work. He got a flat tire or something that morning. Couldn't make it into work. Was really frustrated. And the Twin Towers happened. There were thousands of people that died, whatever. And he didn't know any of that. And he ties it in with the Lord and what the Lord, you know, did that day for him. Let me tell you something about what happened to me when I was, my kids are small. I had two, maybe three kids at the time. And I was there in Chicago visiting my parents. We were here building the church. And so we would once a year try to go out, see my parents, my wife's parents in Michigan. And so we were there, and I grew up in Chicago. I know Chicago like the back of my hand. When I turned 16, I worked at a pharmacy delivering prescriptions for old people that couldn't get in to get their medicines. When I got my license, the day I turned 16, my boss gave me the keys to his new Mustang. And he says, "You scratch it, you're dead." I know how to drive. I just went through the training and stuff. And, you know, I got ulcers learning how to drive in Chicago. But I knew, hey, Chicago is where I learned how to drive. I knew it like the back of my hand. I'm there visiting my folks, and we're done with the week, and we're now heading back this way across the country. And I get into I-55. It's a highway that goes up into the center of Chicago. And I went south or north on I-55 rather than south. I was supposed to go south and then take 80 or whatever that was, 90 across. And so I'm supposed to go south, I go north. I get on the wrong way on I-55. Major problem, especially during rush hour in Chicago. I get on, I'm going into the city, and I'm going, what in the world? I was so aggravated. I wanted to blame my kids or my wife for, you know, arguing or something, or, you know, and it got me thinking. I was so aggravated. This is gonna put me late 20 or 30 minutes from down the road where we're supposed to go. I'm got to get off the road now, and then finally, and rush hour, get back on the road, and now I'm going, doing what I'm supposed to do. And I didn't travel but another, I don't know, 30 minutes, and a tornado had come through, ripped up I-55. Right before we got there, the aid cars didn't even get there yet. We have trucks upside down, cars on the side, and poles down on the highway. And it was like a battlefield. I'm driving down this road. Like I say, it was before any ambulance ever even got there. It was 20 minutes before the tornado hit. All the whole time that I was off track and trying to get back on track, I'm so mad. And you know what? I believe to this day, God prevented me from doing what I was supposed to do, get on the road right. He just confused me a little bit so I wouldn't be there because He wanted me to preach to you guys today. Thank you, Lord. You know what? Changed my perspective. I was so aggravated. Then afterwards, looking back, I said, thank you, God. You know what? There's been times that I've prayed for things in my life. So grateful God did not answer those prayers. So grateful. Because I don't know. I don't see that. He does. And you know what? God is able to lead you, to guide you in His way. And He's got a designer path. He's got His will for you. And if you understand, God can adjust your direction. Just don't put God in a box. That's what I'm saying. Don't put God in a box. He can lead and He can direct and guide. Some people say, well, if it's not in the Bible, then God, listen, I-55 is not in the Bible. You know, when I was looking for where God wanted us to start in the state of Washington. I'd never been to Washington before. I got here in the Seattle area and wanted to get a population area. And so, well, now where do you go? I don't know. And, you know, to describe how that God led us, but He led me so clearly. Well, I knew this is where, and you say, how did He do? How did you know? I can't even tell you. Really, I can't even tell you. All I know is that the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God leads His children. God wants to lead His children. So, number one, attempt to do God's will. Number two, God will adjust the direction that you're in. Number three, the alignment of factors. You see this in our text here, Acts chapter 16. When they gone through here, they tried this. The Lord said, no, no, no. And then they came to this place where across the water, that night he's sleeping and he gets this vision. Come over and help us, is a guy from Macedonia. And so immediately, following biblical guidelines gives us sufficient surety, a direction. This is what they said. After he got that vision, and he knew that the Lord was trying to speak to him, assuredly gathering, they collected all the information there, and said, yep, there's God's will. You know what? It's so neat to be able to know that you're in God's will. It is so wonderful. Really, it is. Let me tell you, there's been some difficulties there in Woodinville. I mean, difficulties that if I didn't know for sure it was God's will, I don't know that I'd lasted. But I knew for sure that God led us here, and I knew this. And because I knew it was God's will, like they assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. So things line up. Scripture, situation, and the Spirit leadership all line up together. If God had led them further into the east, then a vision of a man from Macedonia wouldn't even made sense to them. But they were called across the water from Troas, one step away from their destination. The Bible commanded them to preach the gospel. They were separated by the Holy Ghost and the church working in concert. Acts chapter 15, verse number 40, the Bible says, "And Paul chose Silas, departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." So the church was there saying, this is what you need to do. The Lord called them, said, you know, go preach the gospel to every creature. The situation lined up with Scripture, with the church, and with the situation. All three of them lined up. And so it says they were, they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. So the church sent them away, but they were sent by the Holy Ghost. See, they were doing the same thing. They were acting in concert. So the three things that must align for God's will, to know God's will, is the Scripture. First of all, you got to know the Bible. You got to know what God says. Ye shall be witnesses. Number two, the situation. Closed doors here. However God closed the door, locked the door. They couldn't go here. They suffer them not. And then led them to Troas. And then the Spirit's leadership. The Lord says, come over. That's the place. Scripture, situation, and the Spirit's leadership. It's when each of these don't coincide that we have misdirection. Some guy comes to this gal and says, you're supposed to be my wife. And she says, God didn't tell me that. There's the door. What are you talking about? Get out of here. You know, it's not lining up. You know, it's the three things must line up. The Scripture, the situation, and the Spirit's leadership. Somebody says, you know, Pastor, I believe God is leading me to join this other church over here across town. Now, they're not biblical. They're getting, you know, they don't preach the gospel like they should and whatever, but God's like, I don't think so. Why? Because that's not according to the Scripture. You've got to have the Scripture, the situation, and the Spirit's leadership. They all have to align. By the way, you're never in God's will going away from the Scripture. Never. Never. Well, enough. God might desire for you to do something for him, but you might be hard of hearing because of a blockage due to disobedience or defilement. The verse that I just quoted, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, tells us that you got to live a yielded and holy life apart from the world so that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You got to be able to, and how do you prove? You get everything else out of the way. You clear the table. The Bible says in verse 14, their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11, the way to discern God's will is a clean and obedient life. You get those three things in line, the Scriptures, the situation, and the Spirit's leadership, and they all align, you can assuredly gather, hey, that's God's will. Let's do it. And then you can be determined. Then you can be dogged. You could be consistent and hang on to it. All right? Just simple. Let's do that. Let's apply that. All right? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you so much for this wonderful congregation, Lord. I just love this place. Love what you're doing here. Lord, I pray that you just continue to work. I pray that you continue to lead these families, these men and women, to hold to the line and the word of God. Lord, I pray that you would just bless in each one of these families, these situations. Lord, I thank you for the men that are here that I've witnessed that are good, solid men that know you and that wanna uplift you and be solid in their attempt of being used of God here in this place to have a lighthouse that is effective. Lord, I pray that you bless that. Lord, help us to discern your will. Help us to be able to prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to use the example of Paul and Silas here as they tried to do it. They did not know your will, and they tried, but they were corrected. And Lord, that's okay to be corrected and to be directed specifically. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that in every part of our life, in line with the Word of God, in line with the situation that will open or close as we're yielded to you and your leadership, your specific call and direction and impression upon our hearts, our lives, so that we know what your will is. Lord, help us to, number one, know your will, find and know your will, but then also, Lord, to do your will. So, Lord, I pray that you help us to be clean, help us to be in a manner ready to hear and to observe and to obey your will. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. While heads are bowed just for a moment, maybe there are some things that you need to do right now, that you need to make a decision. God has spoken to you about something. Maybe it's in your life. Maybe there are some things that you didn't even plan on thinking about, but the Spirit of God used the Word of God, the messages, the sermons today, lessons today to bring you to obedience, bring you to choice, bring you to doing something about that, to getting in the middle of God's perfect will for you. If that's the case, right now, the thing to say is, yes, sir. Now, well, Lord, what about? No, just follow me. That's all he says, follow me. Say, yes, sir, and do it. Do what God wants you to do. Say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. That's the proper response. Yes, Lord. If he's your Lord, then it's automatic. You should say yes. So do that right now. In your life, your situation, what you're facing, the questions that you have, just say, yes, Lord, I want to be in line with your word, your direction, the scripture that you've already given us. Lord, I want you to open doors, close doors. I want you to prevent me from messing up. And Lord, I want you to speak to me, and I'll listen. I'll hear your word. I'll hear your direction, and I promise to obey. And that's what you say, yes, Lord.